But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Today's gospel and the weeks previous have been gearing us up for two theologically important feast days, that of Pentecost and Trinity. And it is important that we consider doctrine, the teaching of the apostles. Sometimes, though, we have to have arguments, theological ones. That's in order that we make the good confession, the positive confession. We don't argue about doctrine to divide the church, but rather for unity's sake. So just in 2 weeks, for example, we'll see a perfect picture of the Trinity, one that's already illuminated today in our gospel, and which we confess in the Nicene Creed. That the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, sent by the Son. Now, if we were to keep ourselves strictly to phrases that only occur in the Bible for our creed, we would not say proceeds from the Father and the Son, as we heard today, but rather just proceeds from the Father, as the original Nicene Creed confessed and still is confessed by the eastern half of the church. But the creed is more than just a regurgitation of biblical phrases. We have other expressions in the creed which we'll consider in 2 weeks on Trinity Sunday. For example, one substance. That's an expression found nowhere in the scriptures. But it was one to which the church vehemently argued for. So does the scripture then support adding the phrase proceeds from the Father and the Son? Does the Holy Spirit proceed from the Son? Well, as the fountain source of the Holy Spirit, we do look to the Father as the sole person responsible for this procession. And yet, Jesus is also one with the Father, and so procession comes from him as well. We've heard in the last weeks Jesus breathing on his disciples, so certainly the Spirit comes from him as he breathes on them, or as he now breathes on you, as he declares that word of holy absolution. Maybe we could just refine the way that we state it as follows. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and by the sending of the Son. There we go. Now you've resolved a 1,000-year-old argument between the bishops of Rome and Constantinople. Or maybe not. They still argue about it. And actually, the divide is probably about something else. That's really not the theme of today, though, proceeding from the Father. Most important for us is what the Holy Spirit does, the Spirit whom the Father and the Son has sent. Jesus today gives the Holy Spirit three names. The first is the Comforter, and then the Spirit of Truth, and then Witness, or Testifier. So first, consider that title of the Holy Spirit as the Comforter, or the Helper. The fact that Jesus calls him by this word, rather than simply Holy Spirit, is a gift to us. He is named by Jesus as he is directed toward us for comfort. In the same way that the Son of God is named after the verb that means to save, that is, his name is Jesus, the Lord saves, so the Holy Spirit is named after a verb that means to comfort. He is called the Paraclete, if you know the old translation, which just comes from the Greek verb parakaleo, to comfort or to advocate. So what does it mean? What does it mean to call him the Comforter? And what the Holy Spirit will do for us is best summed up, probably, with two of the most famous uses of comfort in the Bible. Psalm 23, which many of you know by heart, says, "Your rod and staff, they comfort me." And then as we hear every Advent in Isaiah 40, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her this, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." So by the rod and staff of the Good Shepherd, that is the preaching of his word, your days of warfare are ended and your iniquity is pardoned or forgiven. And the result of that is comfort, which is worked by the Helper, the Comforter, whom Jesus sends. So the Spirit comforts and assures our hearts and weary consciences so that we can believe that we have become children of God through Christ. We cry out with all our hearts, "Abba, dear Father," and it makes us so bold as to confess the same faith freely before the whole world. In addition, he comforts us in the face of all tribulation, adversity, and persecution. As we heard from both Jesus and from St. Peter, that we are forced to suffer and to bear in this world for the sake of this confession, tribulation, adversity, and persecution. It is in the midst of these difficult times that the Spirit overcomes our fear and gives us to speak boldly and confidently. Remember that the apostles even rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer contempt for the name of Christ, Acts 5. Therefore, Jesus says, as it were, "Let the world rage, the devil spread his terror, and all tyrants burn with anger. I will send you the Comforter, who is all-powerful, protecting and defending you from every danger. He does this by enlightening your heart with faith, kindling it with love, and comforting it in all troubles, so that you fear neither death or devil, nor the world, nor tyrants, but will pass freely through them, and confess me freely before the world, and suffer and endure all that may be laid upon you." Thus the promise of the Comforter. And second, the Spirit is not some kind of generic comforter with trite sentimentalism or emotional coddling or just empty assurances. No, the Holy Spirit, he says, is the Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of Jesus, who is the truth. The Spirit makes you truthful people who take no pleasure in lies or in false teaching, but instead cling to Jesus, who is the Word of God, and the comfort of the gospel of Christ's blood-bought forgiveness. Clinging to Jesus no matter what and regardless whatever the devil and the world may hurl at you. The Spirit of truth says that whatever Christ the Son of God teaches, establishes, ordains, or decides is the genuine and complete truth. But whatever is taught, established, ordained, or decided out of human reason, or as we heard in Bible study this morning, out of philosophy and empty deceit, those are false and misleading lies, born of the father of lies. The false spirit that proceeds from the devil continues to rage against the truth and has since the beginning of the world. But Jesus gives you the Spirit of truth, his Spirit, that will sustain you against the gates of hell to this day and will do so to the end. So, he's not just a spirit of comfort, but a comfort that comes by way of the truth of Christ Jesus. And third, the Spirit is called witness because he bears witness about Christ, that he is the Son of the living God and the Savior of the whole world, indeed, your Savior. Jesus, in effect, says, "He will remind you, my disciples, of what I taught and proclaimed to you before, and write it in your heart so that you never forget it. He will not be a preacher of the law that convicts, but a preacher of grace that forgives. He will bear witness about me that I have overcome the devil, slain death and shattered hell, blotted out sin, taken away the wrath of God, opened heaven, and made all believers in me heirs of eternal life." So after stating that, the apostles will testify of Jesus, and he prophesies what awaits those who bear witness of him. Again, it won't be easy. They will put you out of synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he is offering God service. To bear witness to the truth, even to give the comfort that the Spirit gives, will result in suffering, often, and even being killed for the gospel. So it was for all the disciples, all those who were then called as apostles, apart from John. They were all given a martyr's death, that is, killed for the sake of the witness of Christ that they made. This connection between bearing witness and death is conveyed in that word martyr. Martyr is the Greek word for witness. And for us, then, it means one who dies confessing the faith. Of course, in the end, every Christian is a martyr because each of us will die confessing the name of Jesus. Thus, the gospel talks about the apostles and their places and places their role alongside that of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit will testify of me, and you also will testify because you have been with me from the beginning." So we hear then also doctrinally and biblically that the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is tightly bound up in the doctrine of the office of the holy ministry, the preaching office. We actually do this liturgically each time we gather, actually multiple times when we gather, when we confess this, "The Lord be with you," and then the old words, and with thy spirit, yes. That's you confessing that the Holy Spirit is with the pastor in these actions through the liturgy, namely through the preaching of the word and the holy sacraments, but also the pastor confessing that the congregation gathered about word and sacrament has the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you and with thy spirit. The roots of that exchange go back to the day of Pentecost, next Sunday, the first Pentecost. With the giving of the Holy Spirit immediately came the proclamation of the gospel and baptism and Holy Communion, Acts 2. And remaining in the Spirit and in the means of the Spirit, the word and sacrament, you can be assured, comforted even, that whatever flaming darts of the devil's kingdom are fired at you and at Christ and at his church, they are in vain. The gates of hell cannot prevail against this holy church, prevail against her. And Jesus is even with us in the midst of cross and suffering. But his promise today is that by the Spirit, you cannot succumb to error or to attack. Because the Holy Spirit has promised to sustain you until the end, until at last God comforts you with the eternal joy and blessedness of life everlasting. May God grant it to us. Amen.